Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook.com, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and also on Twitter at Get Deep and Keep It Real. And if you would like to call in during the show and offer some questions or offer some suggestions, please give us a call at area code 347-215-9738. Once again, 347-215-9738 for your questions and to speak with any guests that I may have. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Make sure you always check us out and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Get Deep and Keep It Real. Hello. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. How are you today? Thank you for joining me. I have a great show lined up today. I'm going to be speaking with Dr. Lisa Upshaw, and we're going to be discussing physical, nutritional, and emotional factors that can impact your health. So sit back and relax as we educate you on holistic healing, weight management, and essential oils. These are ways that you can extend your life just a little bit longer. And we're also going to be talking about the usefulness of supplements. So get your notepads and your iPads and your tablets ready to take notes. Sit back and relax and get educated with Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Hello, Dr. Lisa. How are you today?
I'm great, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so happy that you were able to join me on my show today.
Oh, my gosh. I am, too. I know that we've been trying to find some time for probably a month or two, and I just knew I wanted to come on your show and chat with you and share, and so I'm excited to be here.
Yes, and I think we have so much to discuss. I don't even really know where to start. I'm just so excited about educating the public on all the things that you have to offer in your practice and just, you know, giving them some general tips on how to extend their life and to, you know, better their everyday health and such. There are so many things. We get so many mixed messages, you know, from television, radio, and from society on how to take care of yourself, and sometimes you just don't know where to go.
Yes.
And so I'm hoping to offer some guidance today.
Yes, that's my intention as well.
So could you please just explain to my audience a little bit about yourself and your practice?
Yes. Okay, so by trade, I am a chiropractor and a acupuncturist. I was once pursuing a career path in traditional medicine, and along the way realized that it just didn't match my intentions for the scope of what I could provide for my patients. I wanted to be able to empower them and educate them and spend time with them on how they could treat and take care of their bodies naturally with non-invasive methods. And so I began I then found chiropractic, and that was a great avenue, and then I found Chinese medicine, which totally changed my life, literally changed my life, and fell in love with the practice of acupuncture. I had my own health challenges that I was dealing with when I was in school. I had chronic asthma, was on inhalers most of my life, got allergy shots, couldn't breathe, didn't know what it was like to really take that deep breath. You know, hated the spring because I couldn't smell, I couldn't breathe.
Right.
In addition to that, I also had uterine fibroids, and they were giving me some complications. So as a student, I decided to pursue Chinese medicine as a way to heal myself, and it worked magically. I mean, everything was managed, and I thought, I have to practice this now. I have to do this and share it with other people.
Yes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You wanted to say, go ahead and finish.
Oh, okay, because I will go on and on, so tell me when I need to stop. But I will say the one thing that I want to stress utmost importance in healing, and it's something that I discovered in my healing path with uterine fibroids, was that you have to also address mental and emotional factors and how stress is managed in life. And so that was another thing that I started to pursue and started looking at chakra healing and, you know, then nutrition and so on and so forth, essential oils and supplements.
Well, I'm glad you actually added that in, because it kind of goes along with the question I was going to ask you. I wanted you to kind of try to just give people some benefits of, you know, how acupuncture can really help you. I mean, not just with stress, but, and I really like the fact that you brought up uterine fibroids, because a lot of women suffer from that, and a lot of them feel like that they're just tied to Western medicine, i.e. surgery or heavy medication, to help them cope with this particular problem that can also lead to infertility. And a lot of women don't know that acupuncture is an option.
Definitely. The perspective of Chinese medicine is to always seek balance and homeostasis in the body. And so if there's any symptom, you know, symptom would be, you know, complications of uterine fibroids, then we look at what's out of balance. Is the period too heavy? Are there cramps? How is the PMS? Are there headaches? Is there breast tenderness? That seems to be out of the norm. And then also, in addition to that, looking at how do you manage stress during your cycle? What's your food intake like during your cycle? Those are all barometers that we would use in a session to start to achieve better balance and achieve better homeostasis in life, and then see it in the body. So you have to see it in life first. You can't balance your body, or you can't expect for your body to be balanced and your life is out of whack, if that makes sense. So in Chinese medicine, it's always about looking at the factors around you, what you're putting in your body, and finding balance all around. And so with needles and acupuncture, first with uterine fibroids, is usually just to balance the cycle and get it so it's regular. It comes on the same time every month. You don't have, you know, horrible bleeding. You're changing the pad more than every hour, every, you know, 45 minutes for some people. So that's the first approach. It can help tremendously.
Wow, that's awesome. And I also maybe wanted to ask you about, can acupuncture actually help you with if you have high blood pressure?
Yes. It's so funny. I always get the question. I think one of my most frequently asked questions when it comes to acupuncture is, what does acupuncture work? Like, what can I go for? What does it treat? And honestly, it treats just about any and everything. So the scope of practice of an acupuncturist, again, is just to look at what's out of alignment or what's out of balance in the body. And so if the symptom is high blood pressure, or if the symptom is, you know, fatigue, or if the symptom is digestive upset, then it always comes back to something that's very simple for us. What's out of balance? How can we look and find that? How we say, so yes, it can help for blood pressure tremendously as well.
Okay. Now, what are some other things that are out there now that can, you know, help with a person's total well-being, whether nutritional or I think you mentioned essential oils? How can those things help an individual improve their health status?
That's a good question. So oftentimes when I see a patient, they'll come in for an acupuncture session, and when I insert needles and they're going through the session, then what I do and what I'm doing is sort of correcting and rebalancing their body. Now, when they leave my office and they go back into their lives, and if they're like slow to make changes, lifestyle changes to correct some poor patterns, then it's very easy for that balance that I lined up for them to go back out of whack. So nutritional supplements, essential oils, managing stress, and what you put into your body, your food intake, are all tools that help to maintain that balance when you're not getting immediate treatment, if that makes sense. So, you know, those are all devices, and they're all, you know, as natural as possible, you know, feeding your body like the missing pieces that it needs for its, for lack of a better word, engine, like the internal engine to run smoothly. When something is out of, you know, producing a symptom, or you have a problem, an illness, a disorder, then the body is, you know, experiencing either an excess of something or a deficiency of something. A lot of times there's a deficiency, and so if there's a deficiency, we look to supplement that. So that's where that word supplement comes from. Now, I use essential oils that also act as supplements. So it's supplementing something that the body needs, but not in a way, which is very important, that the body becomes dependent on it. And that's what pharmaceutical drugs can do sometimes.
Right. Now, can you give like an example of what you're talking about?
Sure. An example would be, so let's see, what's a good example? Okay, an example would be that, okay, a lot of women are iron deficient. That's probably one of the most common complaints that women have. And so oftentimes, you know, one will just prescribe iron supplements. And I do that. But what I also like to do is look at, well, why is the body iron deficient? You know, besides just having a menstrual cycle every month, you know, that's normal. Women have been having menstrual cycles since the beginning of time. Has iron deficiency existed from the beginning of time to the point where people feel totally fatigued, like they can't get out of bed? No. So we have to look beyond just the obvious answer, well, you're losing blood so you have less iron. What else is going on? So we look at where there may be some other deficiencies. Is your body able to produce enough, you know, hemoglobin, you know, different factors that go into building blood?
I wish I could jump through the phone right now and hug you for saying that for on the behalf of probably many women out there. There are so many times I just want to choke a doctor because I myself suffer from chronic anemia. And I just want to choke some doctors sometimes because it's always the first question that they get stuck on is, you know, how heavy are you bleeding? Oh, well, yeah, okay, well, that's it. And they stop. No, not when your iron is like 5, your ferritin is 5. Come on now. No.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm sorry.
Right.
Like, yes, thank you.
Right. And I think that is, you know, you find some doctors who do go a little further, but I don't think it's quite as common as it should be. Because it really takes, it's an investigative process, you know.
Yes.
Not every person has the same internal mechanism going on that may produce the same disorder. But the reason why I have iron deficiency and the reason why you have iron deficiency may be totally different. And so we have to take time to look at that. And that applies to anything, with anything going on in your body. Everyone's their own beautiful blueprint.
Right. So, I'm sorry, so you were saying that, so besides, like, the iron supplement, you would, you know, look into other reasons why that person might be iron deficient. So then from there, where would you maybe go?
You know, from there, that's where it gets very, it's very unique to the individual.
Okay.
You know, we have to go back and look at all of their past medical history. Look at some genetic predispositions to disorders. Look at their stress. Look at their mental and emotional factors. We have to look at everything going on in that person's life. So it really just depends. But the tools that someone like myself would use are the ones that are looking to build the body up and to not make a person dependent on any type of therapy forever. You know, the goal is to, okay, you may need to come a lot in the beginning. You may need to take a certain number of supplements, and we may recommend whatever else in the beginning, but let's look at, you know, building you and tapering off slowly, and so that you're empowered and you know how to treat yourself. If you notice, okay, I haven't taken these supplements, but I'm feeling a little run down, what have I undone that I worked so hard to do? And you can catch yourself.
Well, I have two burning
questions.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think one important thing is that is personal responsibility. Each individual needs to have personal responsibility. And I think too often people go to a doctor and they look to be fixed. and, you know, look for the quick and easy way out or look for the quick pill. And this whole healthcare, you know, what we have in our country would dramatically change if I think people were a little bit more conscious and took a little bit more time to, you know, eat better, exercise, practice prayer, meditation, you know, ways to reduce stress, found their passion, lived their passion, didn't hold on to anger and resentment. If there was a lot more personal responsibility in managing one's own health, then people would feel much better. And that has to happen in order to really feel improvement. You can't always look for someone else to fix you.
I couldn't have said it better. You actually answered one of my questions. I had wanted to say, you know, how can we use this if we're still also seeing a traditional doctor, you know, could we possibly stop seeing our traditional doctor, or can I do this at the same time, or, you know, but you said it right there. It's totally up to us to put our lives and stuff in our own hands and not just trust it to one individual to fix everything and a pill to fix everything.
So I think it's interesting. No, I was going to say I also teach at a university, and in one of my courses we were talking about healthcare consumerism, and one of the chapters, and you know, one of the points that I stressed with them is that you would want to, if you of course you should trust whoever you go see, but you want to also make sure that that person hears you, and. So of course you can, of course see somebody, and of course continue to see your practitioner, your physician, if that's who you're seeing. But you know, that person should be able to listen to you and understand whether or not something is really working. You know, and if they're open to maybe having a conversation with a different practitioner, or at least, you know, do they have any recommendations of someone they can see? You know, the person you can see concurrently. Because, I mean, many times I have, all of my patients, well, not all of them, but a lot of my patients also have regular physicians. And so they'll bring me their blood work, which I can read. Or they'll say, you know, my doctor okayed me to start to come down off of my blood pressure medication. And I say, okay, that's great, you know, because they see that with acupuncture, your levels have been, you know, improving. And so that's how we work together.
Okay. That's awesome. Now, I know another question that a lot of my listeners may want to know is, you know, what if they changed their diet, you know, cut down on the processed food, cut down on the McDonald's or fast food, cut down on the coffee, but yet they're still not losing weight? Or maybe to one extent, they might even be juicing and, you know, maybe not exercising as much as they should, but they're still not losing the weight. Is there some kind of connection that they're missing, or?
Yeah, you know what? I think that's another one of my most commonly asked questions, most frequently asked questions when it comes to weight loss, you know, or just the body. You know, I've tried everything, I've done everything, and it's not working. And you know what? I have experienced that too. And it was after I had my daughter, and I didn't have that challenge before her and after her. I was like, what is this? Why is this weight not coming off the way it used to? What is going on? And so what I had to realize is that, you know, the body is dynamic and it's always changing. And what used to work and what may have worked for whoever was on the ad on TV or worked for your friend may not work for you. And it's sometimes like a serious investigative process to finally find what's going to work for you. So I would say keep trying things and keep, you know, change it up. Try a different type of workout. Try, you know, a different type of food regimen. Try eating at different times. Also, you know, try some serious therapy. You know, try delving in, you know, seriously to mental and emotional factors that are going on with you to see if there's something that you're holding on to that is really stressful, because stress has a profound impact on the body and on the hormone system. So even if it's something that is not even like in the moment, you know, happening in the moment, like sometimes I'll get people and they're like, well, I'm really happy right now. But there's that maybe like some resentment that they're holding on to, or maybe that it's just there's just something that hasn't been worked through that still is a factor, you know, it still stresses
right.
them out to some degree, then that's really important to look at too. You know, I know for myself, it was like everything. At one time when losing weight, I wasn't happy. I didn't know whose life I stepped into, trying to work out in the way I used to, and it wasn't working anymore. I was eating foods. I wasn't eating a lot. That's another thing people think. Oh, I didn't eat much, so I should be losing weight. That's like a huge misconception. You have to eat regularly. You know, eating breakfast, eating every 3 hours, not eating so close to bedtime. What types of food you're eating at certain times of day. That's all very important too. So I would say that don't give up, you know, for the person that's saying, I've tried everything, don't give up. You know, it just may take a little time to finally find the right combinations of things.
Right. Now, let me see. One other thing I wanted to get into that a lot of people seem to always want to know is, do they have to become a vegetarian to kind of eat healthy? Or, you know, eat this new craze of eating raw and juicing and all of that. I know what my opinion is, but, you know, who am I? So I'd like to hear your view on that.
That's such a good question because, I mean, it's just so popular right now, vegetarianism and veganism and being a raw foodist. It's so popular. I had a blog I put out not too long ago. I forgot what I titled it, but it was something like Why I'm Not Vegetarian, Vegan, or a Follower of Paleo. And it's not that – but the catch is that I pretty much don't eat meat. But
right.
I just don't like to label what I do. And I think people get caught up in, like, labels, and then they go, like, really hardcore for, like, a year or two, and then they, like, go crazy on a steak, you know, because, like, they've missed it. So – I would say, you know, you have to listen to your body and do what feels right. I think what's most important when it comes to food and nutrition is to eat as many whole foods as possible. So whole grains like quinoa or, which is like a popular one, even brown rice or amaranth or, you know, different grains like that. I think if you do eat meat, make sure you choose organic meat. If you're having dairy, make sure that you're getting dairy from cows that are not treated with the hormone that can trigger estrogen-like, or is estrogen-like in your body, which a lot of people do. I think if you are having fruits and vegetables, make sure you're having more vegetables and fruit. Like some people just like love fruit and eat food all day but don't eat many vegetables. I don't think you have to be a vegetarian, vegan, paleo, whatever the name is, to be healthy. I just think you have to listen to your body and do what's best for you. I'll just give you a little bit of insight from me really quick. The reason why I'm not eating meat right now. Okay, so I have practiced following Eat Right for Your Blood Type in the past and still do to some degree because I found that to be very effective for my patients, like very, very, very effective. And so I'm a blood type O. And so I actually do well with meat. You know, typically I don't do well with many grains, especially if they're refined. You know, they've got to be like I can do good with quinoa and brown rice, and that's about it. And I need a lot of leafy greens, a ton of leafy greens. My body does well with it. I cannot do dairy at all, you know, whatsoever. That is what it is according to my blood type, and that is what is true for me. That's not me you know, conforming to the book. That's just what's true. However, that being said, I recently ended up having a little bout of psoriasis, which I was like, whoa, what is this? And I have my own stuff that I'm working through with that, mental and emotional stuff, what I was eating, you know, all of that. I'll probably have a blog on that coming out soon. I realized is that the more meat I was having, my joints were feeling really heavy. And although I was doing well with meat, it was just like a direct correlation I'd experimented with myself. So that's why I don't eat meat right now. I eat fish, but I don't eat chicken or red meat or turkey, anything like that. So, again, you have to listen to your body, you know, and that's I practice what I preach. So That's how I feel about that.
Right. And let me see. There was something. Oh, any like top no-nos of just definite things you should not really be doing.
Where to start? No, there really aren't that many. I would say it's probably easier for me to say the top do's than no-nos. But let me think if there are no-nos.
Well, let's do both.
Okay,
let's
definitely
do both.
Okay, let me give you my top three no-nos. My
okay.
top three no-nos. Don't hold on to resentment. That's
uh-huh.
huge. That's a big one. Okay, my number two would be to, and it's probably my do, they're going to be opposite of these, but my number two would be to learn, so my number two no-no is to don't give your power away
mm-hmm.
to someone else or something else. That's
mm-hmm.
big number two. And number three, big top no-no, don't eat fast food.
Right.
That would
okay.
probably be a number three, only because, you know, what you consume every day is so important, and you just want to consume food that's made with your health as a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're eating
mm-hmm.
something where it's just about getting full or having some empty calories, and it's not nourishing. So you just want to be
mm-hmm.
mindful of what you consume and put in your body.
Right.
My top do's would be to understand your own personal body language. Like, how does your body respond under stress? Like, what's the first system to go? Is it you get a sore throat? Do you get a headache? Do you eat? What is your body's language? How do you know when you're starting to accumulate stress and your body's starting to respond? So that's number one, know
right.
your body language. Number two, get in touch with and trust your instincts. Like, so important. Know inside, that inside voice that's telling you whether or not something is right or wrong, if something's right for you. So that's number two. And number three, I would say, is just to really practice, like, consciously practice finding peace and health every day.
Okay. Wow. That, it's funny. It's totally not in the direction I thought you were going to go in. But so actually, it's really about the mind. It's not so much of almost, it's kind of like maybe half and half of what you're putting in,
mm-hmm.
but also the state of mind as well.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I knew I was going to throw you off
with that.
And then I guess exercise is the third component to that.
Yeah, I would say exercise. You know, I would probably make an addendum to one of my musts. Probably number three is to move your body. You definitely have to move
okay.
your body. That's key. The blood has to circulate. The joints need lubrication. The muscles need to understand that how they're supposed to work. So that's hugely important as well. But yeah, I do think that the mind is just about 50%, if not more, of health. And then, you know, the rest of it is like the nuts and bolts of what you eat and how you move, you know, if you're exercising.
Right. Now, there's been a little bit of controversy out there these days of you can be obese, yet still be healthy, whereas there may be someone who is within the weight limit and healthy, so to speak, or unhealthy, I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry, like bad lab work or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if you had any comments about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think when it comes to weight and let's start with weight. When it comes to weight, I think it's just, again, it all comes back to balance. So I think if the person is a certain body size and they have some challenges with food, with, like, overconsumption,
mm-hmm.
then I think that needs to be addressed. However, I think if a person is a certain body size and they are able to really manage their food intake and there's not, like, an overconsumption, underconsumption thing happening, then I think that's their body size. And then if there's some issues regarding, you know, that person knowing that they, you know, probably could be a smaller size or less weight, mm-hmm. then I think it's important to look at those other factors, you know, what else is out of balance in the life. You know, on the other hand, you know, there are tons of really skinny people that are horribly ill and not healthy at
right.
all. And mm-hmm. and so I think, you know, it's very important, again, to not assume that someone who is thin is healthy, and for a thin person to not assume that they are healthy. And, you know, some people can be small and, like, eat Krispy Kreme donuts. But I don't condone that, you know, because you're a small size,
right.
you can do it. No, that's awful. Don't do that. Like, what are you doing to your body?
Right.
At some point, it will catch up with you.
Now, the last...
But, you know, we're all built differently.
Mm-hmm. Sure, very true. I have two last mm-hmm. questions before we have to get out of here. One of the questions was how... I want to eat healthy, but sometimes it just seems like it takes a lot of work. Are there any, like, quick tips or skills, you know? I mean, we're not even going to talk about the cost of it. That's just another whole show right there. But
right.
do you have any
right.
tips on how to, you know, maybe quickly get some healthy food into your life?
Yes, definitely. Okay, first I think it involves changing the mindset and understanding that food preparation is going to take more time than going to a fast food or quick place. So that mindset
mm-hmm.
has to change first, that there is sort of like a deserving, you know, part
mm-hmm.
of food preparation
mm-hmm.
and food consumption that goes into one thing better quality and one thing what's
mm-hmm.
going to be better for you. But with regards to just time, because nobody has enough time at all, I think like Rachel Ray used to have her week in a day meals. You know, finding
mm-hmm.
a day during the week, like if it's Saturday or Sunday, and planning out, you know, meals for the week and, you know, repeating some of them and preparing it all on one day so that when you come home, if you work late Monday through Friday, you don't have to think about it. It's already done. It's prepared. Put it on your calendar, you know, plan out your snacks. And, you know, that's one quick way. You can also and this kind of gets a little bit tricky with money, but, you know, if you have, like, a healthy food market near you, like a Whole Foods or even a Trader Joe's or something, then instead of going to a drive-through, just run in there and get something. I would say more so Trader Joe's for being better on the pocketbook. And get
right.
a pre-made salad, you know, get some fruit, get, you know, there's lots of options at Trader Joe's. I used to get my lunch at Trader Joe's for, like, I think I spent, like maybe $4 a day. And it was really filling and it was healthy. I think I'd get a piece of fruit, a salad, and like a coconut water or something like that.
Right.
Or maybe I would just not get the coconut. But so it's just a mindset change, but there are ways to do it.
Right. And the last question or tip, I just wanted you to put a little bit more out there about the essential oils and how that can enhance one's life.
Yes. Okay, let me tell you how much I love essential oils. They have just, like, I've used them always for, like, chakra balancing. I've used them in my practice for just, like, enhancing, like, mood at the moment. And they work really well, like, when I have a session. But I, in the last year, started using them more in my family to treat my family and then also started using them more in my practice. And, I mean, talk about, like, effectiveness and how quick they work. I mean, I just have fallen in love. Now, I will say they're not all treated. They're not all made the same. They're not all the same. You can't just go out to, you know, Target and get, you know, any old brand. I think you have to be mindful of that and get something that's
mm-hmm.
100% pure oil, organic. They're in touch with the distillery. There's not necessarily like a third party where they're getting it from and buying it from. And so I've used them for my husband, my daughter, myself, my patients. And really what it is, it's just like the essence of the plant, the
mm-hmm.
essence of what makes the plant have its own defense mechanisms, its own properties in living and growing. And
mm-hmm.
for, you know, they've been used since biblical times. I mean, you can, if you're a biblical person, you can look in the Bible for all the oils that have been used. And it's amazing. You know, there's just so many different applications for an oil. So, I mean, honestly, I use them for almost everything. I have patients that have horrible migraines, that have digestive issues, that have chronic colds, gynecological issues, and you can either apply them topically, you can diffuse them. For some of them, you can ingest them, add them to water. I also may add them to my salads and my food. Some of my recipes have them on my blog, my website. So they're just amazing.
Okay, so actually on your blog, you talk about some essential oils that you can actually ingest. Okay, great. So, what is your blog?
Yes. Okay. So I have my some recipes with the oils in them. My blog is Dr. Lisa, so DrLisa Upshaw, UP as in Paul, S as in Sam, HAW, so that's my name, DrLisaUpshaw.com/blog. And just so if you subscribe to my newsletters, which you can find on my homepage, which is just DrLisaUpshaw.com, subscribe, and in the next probably month, I'm going to be coming out with a whole nother group and website that's going to give you every piece of information you've ever wanted to know about essential oils. I have a group of women that I'm working with, and we're going to tell you all about how to take them, which ones to take, what to start with, what they're good for. And so if you indicate that you're interested in that, then I'll make sure you get the first letters when we launch it.
Oh, awesome. Well, it looks like when you launch it, we may have to have you back on the show so we can talk about that.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, I'd love to.
Well, this conversation has been awesome. I've learned a lot, and I think my listeners have learned a lot as well. And if you're out there listening and if you have any more questions for Dr. Lisa, can you tell us how they can get in contact with you?
Sure. They can email me. They can, on my website, they can go to the contact page and find it there, or you can email me directly at, again, Dr. Lisa, but it's Dr. abbreviated, so DrLisa at DrLisaUpshaw.com.
Great. That's awesome. And are you on Facebook or Twitter? Because you know everyone's into social media these days.
Yes, I am on Instagram under my name. I'm on Facebook under my name, Dr. Lisa Upshaw. And I'm on Twitter as well under my name. So, yes,
okay.
I am linked everywhere.
Great. Awesome. Well, it's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you for joining Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Have a great day.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Bye-bye.
Bye.